You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Holly Randall Unfiltered is sponsored by Twisties. Twisties is the ultimate lesbian glamour erotica website. It is the website that I have shot for the longest. I have produced some of my best content for them, and they are definitely your go-to place for beautifully shot, believable scenes between the hottest industry stars of today. So many of my guests that you've heard on the show, I have shot for Twisties. And so if you want to look up any of my guests' girl work, twisties.com is the place to go. Their Twisties Treat of the Month is the most carefully curated solo scenes and girl scenes that showcase the best and the brightest in the porn industry. So make sure that you support my show by supporting my sponsors. And please go and visit twisties.com. Hi, I'm Holly Randall, and welcome to my podcast, Holly Randall Unfiltered. This is a show about sex, the adult industry, and the people in it. I'm a 21-year veteran of this fascinating little industry, and as the eldest child of the trailblazing erotic photographer Suze Randall, you could say I grew up in it. So forget everything you think you know about porn, because this show is going to change your mind. My guests are some of the biggest names in the industry, and we unabashedly reveal the real behind-the-scenes stories. The funny, the inspiring, the tragic, and the bizarre. Everyone has an opinion about sex work, but few people actually listen to the sex workers. So sit back and prepare yourself for a podcast which is honest, raw, and unfiltered. Hello, everybody. Welcome to an incredibly special episode of Holly Randall Unfiltered. You've been asking for this guest for a long time, and I finally got her here. You may remember her from Bold and the Beautiful, White Chicks, a movie I've never seen, which apparently is a big faux pas, or her most iconic role as Rachel McGuire on Boy Meets World. She turned her love for acting and sexuality into an award-winning adult film career and just released her memoir, Rated X, about how a former Disney princess found her fairy tale in porn. Welcome, Maitland Ward.
Oh, thank you so much. It's so sweet. Your guests have asked for me for a long time.
Oh, no, I've been getting requests for you for a long time.
Oh, that's like, sweet.
I'm trying. She's busy.
Well, we did want to wait for the book and everything, too. Yeah, so no. we got a lot of, yeah.
Of course. I'm always, like, so grateful that anyone's willing to, you know, give me their time. So however long it takes, Maitland, I will wait for you.
Oh, thank you.
It's okay.
Well, we're here now. Here we are.
So I guess we'll start from the beginning.
Okay.
Tell me a little bit about your early career and then how you transitioned to what you do now.
Oh, my gosh. My early career. Well, I started out when, you know, I was a teenager on a soap opera, Bold and Beautiful, as you mentioned. And it was such a fast thing because it was on my second audition. And I had really been such a fan of soaps and acting and Hollywood, and to be like all of a sudden on the set with like people I had seen on TV before and to be in that world, it was wonderful. It was wild. And for the most part, everybody was great except for a few people that I speak of, but for most part, everybody was really, really great on Bold and Beautiful. So I started there. And so it was kind of like, I had like my first years I was there. And then not long after I got Boy Meets World, after I left the show, after I left the soap opera. So those early years, I had a lot of success very early on. Mm-hmm. So as you know, I got kind of typecast, definitely got typecast as this kind of sweet girl next door character. Mm-hmm. I was the flirty, sexy one on Boy Meets World, but it was still within the Disney confines and stuff. So it was an interesting thing to transition, to find myself as like a woman, discovering her own sexuality in real life and like seeing who I wanted to be as a person and still being told, you know, you have to be a certain way. You have to be the good girl, be this innocent figure, but also be sexy, but not too sexy. Only sexy when we want you to be, but then in your personal life, you know, you don't want to push any boundaries or anything. And you needed to really toe the line with them with, you know, in that age. And also in those early like 2000s and late 90s, it was such a weird time. It was really weird. You had to be the virginal girl, but also the sexy girl. Mm-hmm. And that, like Britney and Jessica Simpson and stuff really fell into that, where they had to, I'm a virgin, but I'm dancing sexy everywhere and stuff. So,
yeah. It's a strange juxtaposition.
Yeah. So I had to cover up a lot of like anything I wanted to do with my sexuality or who I was. I thought that it was bad and I couldn't express myself. So many, many moons later, that's where it led me to get into the adult business. And a lot of it just by fate and happenstance, because it wasn't something like a trajectory that I planned out. It was never that. It was always just this journey that I was taking on my own. And then I discovered I had fans coming along for the ride, especially with the rise of social media and stuff. So I got a lot of followers and a lot of interest. And then, of course, I started a Patreon account, and the rest is history. Hello, Patreon people.
So really, Patreon was the gateway drug.
Oh, yeah. Yes, it was the gateway drug. Yes. Well, it was funny because I was doing like sexy setups and photos like for years, several years beforehand. And then I was getting kicked off of social media a lot. And then, you know, just for my sexy pictures or, you know, they were taking things down and flagging me and stuff. And so my fans were like, well, why don't you just do content? And I had no idea what content was at this time. This was at the beginning of 2018. So I was like, I mean, I kind of knew what it was, but I wasn't really in that world yet. I wanted to do sort of like Playboy-esque type pictures I did a lot of sexy cosplay. So I wanted to be able to like show my body and stuff, because I had discovered I liked being an exhibitionist of sorts and shocking people and just having fun and being my own self. And my social media following really responded to that as soon as I like jumped out of the box of being like just the sitcom girl in the past, which is a great thing to be, but I had grown and developed as a woman and, you know, found what I love to do and stuff. So I said, oh, maybe somebody will buy a few pictures or something on my Patreon. I'll set an account up just one night. And I did. And I said, but I was like, forget it. I don't know if I'm going to announce it. So I didn't announce it. The next day I had like 20 subscribers. Mm-hmm. And when I did finally announce it on Twitter and Instagram and everything, I had like 2,800 by the end of the week. And it was like, I was the number one adult creator. It was like, wow, people really want to, you know, see my stuff. And they're like championing me on and stuff. So it was really, really exciting. And I didn't think, like people had told me, you're never going to get paid for being sexy. And yet, I mean, I got told by publicists and stuff, you know, if you're not 25 and you're not the new thing, you're not going to be, you know, considered sexy. And I think that was a real turning point for me. I know it was, where I could say, hey, wait a minute, they were wrong. I did my own thing and I'm a success at it already so fast.
Do you think that the adult industry is a little bit more accepting of people like of different ages and body types and look and stuff like that than the mainstream industry?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because the girls in Hollywood, you have to be very skinny all the time, and you have to be a certain look, at least especially back when I was coming up. Like, you really, there were types that they wanted to have, and especially the Disney girls. They were very, like, strict about things. But I think I definitely saw in the adult industry that people, there's all different walks of life. There's, like, all different types, and that's really refreshing, and I loved that, you know, you could have different ages and different, you know, ethnicity, different, you know, whatever, sexual interests and stuff. So it was amazing to walk into that, because I felt like I was accepted really by that, like by people accepting of me.
So interesting, because there's been so many people that I've interviewed who, you know, came from a life where they felt like they weren't accepted for who they were. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, these are people who usually fall into like the more sexually charged individuals and are shamed for that. And then they come into the adult industry, you know, this industry that's supposed to be really like shady and dangerous and all this kind of stuff. And then you find that like this kind of like embracement that you didn't get otherwise.
Yeah. Oh, that's very true. I think it's a safe haven for a lot of people, because they find acceptance and I was like that too. I mean, I didn't think I'd be accepted like for who I was sexually or what I wanted to do like that in mm-hmm. that way. But I finally found an outlet where I could really express myself, and I loved it. I love it still.
Did you find that you had more personal autonomy in the adult industry?
Yes. I mean, it was just a different experience than being in Hollywood. Just Hollywood, I was just always trying to fill roles that other people wanted me to play. Mm-hmm. And I feel like in the adult industry, I'm really able to carve out my own path and my own thing and express myself as a human and a woman and everything in a way that, you know, I would never be able to, of course, not in mainstream, but in any way, like mm-hmm. people just, you know, want to keep you in a box just to keep you in that box forever.
Yeah. Yeah. So transition to, so how did your contract with Deeper come about?
Well, my contract with Deeper is so interesting because I had always heard whispers of Kaden along the way, like, and I didn't really know about Deeper. I knew it was starting up. She had won Director of the Year, mm-hmm. the first year that I was starting in my Patreon and mm-hmm. doing all my stuff. And then I realized that, and she was going to start Deeper, but it was a kind of like a parallel thing, but Vixen approached me to do Blacked. Mm-hmm. And that was a big deal to have to, I was like thinking, I'm going to do this big professional production. This is it. Like everybody's going to see it. Well, the day that my Blacked scene came out, like, it went crazy bonkers. The website crashed. It was insane. Wow. Yeah. It was like, it broke all records and it hadn't even been out in the press yet. I didn't make like press announcements. It was really a viral kind of thing that Rachel is going to be in porn and she's going to be on Blacked. And so that same Saturday, my scene came out. Kaden was filming Drive. She was filming the first scene of Drive which was the big feature film mm-hmm. that was going to be that year. And Deeper just really began 4 months earlier, launched 4 months earlier, mm-hmm. and she lost the co-star. So mm-hmm. to Angela White. Angela White was the other lead. Mm-hmm. And so she had such a time crunch for like awards and stuff. And so she didn't think that she was going to be able to get it out in time. And so she went on Monday morning to Vixen and said, you know what? I don't know if we're going to be able to do this. I lost the lead. What am I going to do? I need somebody to have, who can handle dialogue and everything. And that's when Vixen was like, talk to Maitland. And that afternoon we went to Starbucks. I'd read the script. They sent it over and I was like, wow, this is exactly what I've been wanting to do. Mm-hmm. Like really scripted material that had a lot of good acting and I knew it'd be well directed and it was just very exciting. And so we met at Starbucks and I didn't sign the contract right then. We started working on Drive. Mm-hmm. But then Drive blew up.
Yeah.
Drive was just another phenomenon.
Yeah.
Like it was that was announced to the press too. So mm-hmm. it was just going crazy the first days of Drive when it was announced. I beat Bernie Sanders' heart attack on Google searches.
Wow.
It was a wild time. And then shortly after that, we really realized that we wanted to work together mm-hmm. and do a lot of scripted material. And I can't believe it's been 3 years since my contract. Yeah, it's been wild, but it's been wonderful. And we've made some great projects. And we have another feature project coming out that people can see starting right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Depending when this airs.
Yeah. I know. They're announcing it tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
So we can't say what it is.
So I can't really say a lot about it, but I will say that it is like a metaphorical, artistic sort of journey of my life. It's like Natural Born Killers meets WandaVision. That's all I'll say.
Wow.
No.
Wow.
It's pretty cool.
Incredible.
It's pretty cool. Yeah.
So I guess let's back up a little bit. So you were doing sexy content on Patreon.
Yes.
And I'm assuming just nude stuff?
Well,
okay.
Because
Patreon did change where they were like, first you could put porn on there and then you could only put nude stuff on there.
Yeah, they did. I broke some rules back then. I can say that. But it was mostly, because I started out just doing the nudes and stuff and that mm-hmm. was all Patreon, the sexy nude stuff. And then I was like, well, girls, I want to, try stuff with girls and, and do that. And then, so it was a progressive journey of like who I was as a person, who I was becoming in my sexuality and stuff. And my husband was with me every step of the way in this. Mm-hmm. He was very supportive of everything. It just eventually led to, two men that I worked with in my content who were wonderful, Isaiah Maxwell and Danny Mountain. So I was very lucky to get real professional.
Yeah.
I mean, right at the beginning, because maybe if it hadn't have gone as well and I hadn't have had as much fun or I wasn't as, you know, it was, I felt very safe and comfortable and confident and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I loved performing and I learned so much from them along the way. So I really was, you know, lucky with that.
Yeah. So your first sex scene was with a girl.
Yes. And, you know, we have a mutual friend, Alexandra.
Oh, yeah.
She was, okay, she, go way back. Before I was doing any porn or anything, I was doing setups. I did International Kiss a Ginger Day with her. I was looking for somebody who I wanted to do a cute little, it is a day. It's in January.
Yeah.
But, so I was doing all those kind of setups for special days and stuff.
Right.
But, somebody knew her. I knew a producer that knew her and she was a fan of Boy Meets World. And so we did the setup. We did those cute pillow fights and little kiss of ginger. By the end, we were like doing super nude stuff. And like, we were getting like very hot and heavy in this stuff. And she was like, you know, you are going to do something in the adult business one day. And I was like, oh, I don't know. I think this is just fun. I was doing, you know, photos and stuff. But and then she was right. And I did bring her back to do, you know, a scene or two, a couple scenes with me. Yeah. And then I met people through her and I did some. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then I started doing like group girl and then, you know, kind of progressed like that.
And what was that? Wasn't your first time with a woman when you
No. Right? On screen. I mean,
on screen, but not like in person.
Yeah. No, not with person. No. And that's something that was so great. Because I love women and I've explored sexually with women and I finally felt like really accepted because every time, like in my past, I felt, oh, I have to hide like who I am sexually or I was uncomfortable with that and I shouldn't have been. And actually now that I'm so out in the open with everything, I'm finding that most people are really accepting and really supportive just of me living in my truth. Mm-hmm. And so I think along the way, it was silly to hide so much of myself.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was really fun to, you know, just explore that way.
And, it feels like a common thread that we've seen with so many child stars, especially that worked with Disney, that they, you know,
become,
you know, in the public's eye, like these overly sexualized women because they, you know, we always tried to cast them as this, you know, innocent person.
Right.
And do you think that that's going to change at all? Do you feel like it's different now?
I think it's different in other arenas. I don't know about Disney or Disney Channel. I don't know if they're going to change really. But I do see more, you know, I do see more people living in their truth. And I think social media had a lot to do with that, that people could really connect. And like you see these people on TikTok and everything who just tell their truths and people accept them and and support them. And I feel that it is changing because I see so many younger people like in their 20s and 30s who are come up to me and women. I'm always surprised with how many women come up and say, I love your stuff. I'm so like, you're an inspiration for like really expressing your sexuality and being so like proud of what you do and who you are. Mm-hmm. And so I think that philosophy is changing. It's the older set who generally is more shocked by it. But, you know, I was talking to somebody because in the back in the day, they had to go into like back rooms to watch porn or get their dad's cassette or whatever it was. And so it was much more of a secretive thing. And I think these generations have really grown up on the internet and having porn being so accepted. And so I think it's just a normal thing for them, which it is normal. But before it felt even more taboo.
Yeah. How do you think social media has helped in that sense, like specifically?
I think people just connecting. Like I would not be anywhere if I did not have social media grown because I was told you cannot do certain things. You're not going to be sexy. Nobody will pay for anything. And it wasn't even just about paying for things. I really didn't expect to make a lot of money or have such success. I just wanted to express myself and finally be free. So there was years that I was not like, you know, benefiting financially a lot from this. I mean, I did Comic-Cons and stuff, but I really think just people being able to see someone as their authentic selves. And, you know, I think Hollywood tries to separate us a lot from like they want just certain kinds of people. Usually, I mean, that might be changing more now, but they want people to fit in like in certain types of roles. But I think the audience is like, they're interested in a lot more stuff than Hollywood has to offer for them.
Yeah.
I really saw that.
Yeah. I definitely feel the same way. It's like, you know, before social media came along and the internet, we were told by a small group of people in power that yes, this is what
exactly
people want to see.
Yes, that's exactly
and,
it.
And so that's yeah. what they put out. And so that's what we see in
that's
the media.
What, yes.
And we're like, oh, well, this is what everybody wants because
yeah.
this is all I ever see.
Yeah.
And Cosmopolitan's telling me that this is like
right.
what people want. And then, yeah, when the internet came along, suddenly people could actually look and seek what they wanted to see
right.
as opposed to like what they were just fed.
Right.
And then with social media, people were able to interact directly and say like,
right.
I actually like this thing. I don't necessarily
right.
like this thing, even though we've been led to believe that you like this thing.
Right. Like, just like how the publicist told me, you know, no 25-year-old, only a 25-year-old can be sexy
mm-hmm.
and that who make a living at it. And it's like, they were wrong.
And so many of the most successful people in the adult industry are over the age of 30.
Which is amazing too. It's
yeah.
amazing. It's so impressive.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I think it speaks to, you know, women coming into their own and being comfortable in their own sexuality. And I think the fans really respond to that.
Yeah.
And that usually doesn't happen for us until we're older, I think.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it comes along with like life experience and everything.
Oh yeah. 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 And I really feel I couldn't have done it when I was younger. I really needed to take a longer journey. I was not confident enough mm-hmm. in myself
yeah.
at all. I had, you know, a lot of hangups. I wasn't comfortable with my body or with, you know, expressing myself like that. Even though I had desires for that, I wasn't ready.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm amazed that some young girls can come in and be so confident and like express themselves like that. I would,
yeah.
I needed a lot of years of discovery, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I can absolutely relate to that. So you were the only main cast member from Boy Meets World that did not appear on the 2014 spinoff Girl Meets World. Do you think your budding career in porn had something to do with that?
You know what? I wasn't even doing porn at that time. I was just doing my sexy pictures on Instagram that were getting kicked off.
So like, do you think like...
It did. Absolutely did. Absolutely. Because you're saying the main cast members, they had people that were like, had little roles on the show come back.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was like, yeah, it definitely, they did not like that I had like this new sexy image and I was getting attention from it. And I was getting a lot of press at the time, a lot of press on like my red carpet appearances and the booby blogs were really big at that mm-hmm. point. And so I got a lot of attention from that and stuff. And I was really having fun with that. And I was wearing these sexy dresses and costumes, a lot of my cosplay stuff. And yeah, that just turned them the wrong way. They didn't like that.
Yeah. And probably you would have taken away the spotlight from a lot of other people.
It could
show.
Be. And also in a, I guess, a more controversial way.
Yeah, like, in a way that they didn't want.
They didn't want, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's true, yeah.
You wrote about growing up in a very Christian, conservative household where sex was very much taboo. Do you think that influenced how you viewed sex?
Oh, absolutely. Especially like my grandmother, she was very conservative with her sexuality and Christianity and everything like that. I mean, not to the point where some people have really conservative parents. My parents... They were very loving and have become so open-minded and like so supportive of me and everything. But I think everybody just wanted the best for me. Like, I think there was a lot of people in Hollywood who had bad intentions in that way to keep me in a box like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think my parents just were so worried something would happen to me and that I should, you know, follow a straight line and be good and like you'll get everything you want and, you know, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. But, it definitely influenced me because I thought everything I thought about sex was like bad or
yeah.
like it was like, it was taboo. It was naughty. I can't, you know, do that. But I also realized like, as I went along, I put a lot of that on myself.
Mm.
Like I would hear things. Of course, my grandmother wouldn't want me to, she's in her grave now. So, I thought that people would react differently to me than they have. When I express myself and how I, you know, wanted to be sexually and everything. So I think I came to terms that I was like responsible for a lot of like what I thought. I just had such anxiety and Hollywood put a lot on that too.
Right. So you were very surprised by the feedback that you got.
Oh, absolutely.
You expected people to like, you know, be
yeah.
incredibly negative towards you, all the things that you had heard from the people
yeah.
that you worked with in Hollywood. And then
yeah.
the opposite was true.
Yeah, the opposite was true. And I think that's true with a lot of things in life. It doesn't just have to be porn or Hollywood or anything. You could, you know, people are, especially women a lot, are told you can't do something, you can't be something. No. But
mm-hmm.
people that are telling you no all the time don't want you to succeed
mm-hmm.
or they would, you know, encourage you or help you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I did find a lot of people, once I did speak that truth, they were very accepting and supportive. And they were interested. You know, I get a lot of people asking questions about porn. And I think they feel, I don't know, they feel like, not just my friends, but are like fans and stuff. They feel like they know me a little better. Like I was in their living room and I've been mm-hmm. in things that they know that are mainstream that aren't so, mm-hmm. you know, scandalous. But they're like, I feel safe asking her certain questions mm-hmm. and stuff. So it's cool. I like when they do that.
That, you know, that's so true. I've definitely gotten that feedback as well, where people who grew up, you know, with a lot of shame around sex, mm-hmm. when they feel like they've connected someone who works in the industry, that it feels like a safe place to
yeah.
kind of talk yeah. about the things that
yeah.
they're scared to talk about with other people.
Right. Because everybody's kind of like, if we would all just talk, it wouldn't be so yeah. taboo and shameful and everything
yeah.
that in society. But yeah, and you talked about how like it's a safe haven for people to mm-hmm. come that have different sexual interests or different, just different than mm-hmm. society would deem you, you know. Mm-hmm. But I really do think it is. It's society that, you know, is inflicting the pain and the taboo and making people feel like they're other than or less than if they're in the adult industry and stuff.
Yeah. I've always said that I feel like the worst thing about the adult industry is the stigma that surrounds
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's exactly what I'm trying. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's like most, I mean, look, everybody has different experiences in the adult mm-hmm. industry. Some people have terrible experiences.
Oh yeah. Just like in Hollywood.
Right. You get mixed up with the wrong people.
Oh, sure.
Like you can have awful experiences.
Absolutely.
And which is a terrible thing. But I think, you know, so many people, there are many people who have great experiences with the industry, mm-hmm. but the stigma that surrounds it makes it difficult for them to kind of like live their life outside
right.
of the industry, like difficulty dating, their family right. disowns them. They can't move on and get a different job
yeah.
in another like career. Were you afraid of any of those things when you got into porn?
You know what? By the time I was doing it, I was having success with my own content and stuff. And it was mm-hmm. kind of, the Patreon year and a half before I did anything professional porn was like a real training ground for me. And it was kind of private. I mean, it was only the people that really followed me and mm-hmm. there were a lot of them, but you know, as opposed to like the vast society out mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. So I was a little worried, but I think at that point in my life, I had found success and I was kind of like, I had no fucks anymore. When I was younger, I would have been worried about stigmas and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody said to me, wow, you didn't even change your name. And I was thinking that would have been worse for me. Can you imagine yeah. if somebody saw me on something and they were like, she's going by some yeah. other name now.
It's like everybody knows.
It would be like I was hiding.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that definitely speaks.
They'd especially think I was hiding, like, yeah. you know.
Yeah, because you're already out there. You're in the yeah. public eye. Like you've yeah. been a celebrity. And so, yeah, to change your name would yeah. be a little bit weird.
That would be weird. And also I thought it was really important that I did have my name and my persona out there, mm-hmm. especially by the time we did Drive, because I was so proud of like doing such a great feature film and having so much dialogue and this great role and stuff. So I really, you know, I went to Caden and I was like, I want to announce this to the press. It was, oh, but it's funny. Like everyone in mainstream and in Hollywood was like people I knew from both places were like all in agreement that they were going to tear me apart in the press. That mm-hmm. was like, are you sure you want to go to the press? Are you sure like you want to give interviews and stuff? But I mean, I had such a fortunate time with them, like such supportive people. And I was really, really fortunate that I knew a reporter at In Touch and mm-hmm. she wrote such a great headline. Like Maitland is on her authentic journey. I don't remember exactly, but it was like, it was so amazing. And that really kind of set the tone.
It's so interesting. I just think about the way that journalism has changed over the years and the way that yeah. it's, you know, I mean, more so in the last few years than in the last few decades, because you talk about that headline and how surprising that was to you that somebody from a mainstream publication would write about your journey in porn, that you were yeah. discovering your authentic self rather than saying you're being victimized
oh,
or
no,
you're
yeah.
on drugs or, you yeah. know, like whatever other nefarious thing that would be driving
yeah.
you towards that. And I think about, so I was actually going through my mom's archival stuff from the 70s and I found all these old newspaper clippings when she was doing press
oh,
about her book. So she wrote a book.
Oh my gosh, in the 70s. Wow.
Yeah, in 1976, I think, okay. is when it came out.
Okay.
So like a couple years before I was born.
Mm-hmm.
And just these newspaper headlines that I found, like one of them was the lady behind those dirty skin mags. What was it? Filthy skin mags. And it was just, and I was just like, wow, you know, and
yeah.
this was like super common. And I just think about how there was just this automatic, you know, I mean, God, and some of the interviews she did, they were so sexist.
Oh God. Yeah.
Oh my God. I the journalists were just like, what are your children going to think of you?
Oh my God.
Like it just, and that's I just think crazy, about now how you can come out and you can like be celebrated. Mm-hmm. I'm sure not by everybody, because there's still people out there who think the porn industry is an evil place.
But, right.
I mean, do you feel that maybe you're inspiring other people who have worked in mainstream to come out and express their authentic self if they might be interested in going down this path? Do you feel like you're maybe paving the way?
You know, I would hope so. It was funny. I was talking to a male actor the other week, and he was saying, well, people say that, you know, mainstream actors don't want to go into porn, especially men, because, you know, they don't want to be in the stigma of porn and all that. He's like, no, we're not confident in our dicks. He's all, really, we're the most unconfident people when it comes to our bodies like that. So yeah, it would take, so I really think it takes a specific, you know, skill set. And it's true.
Especially for the guys.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. For the guys. Yeah. They don't. Yeah. But I would hope that more people are, you know, thinking about it. I'm all for it. Here, let's invite him in.
Have you ever had, and obviously not naming names, have you ever had any mainstream celebrities come up to you and be like, what's it like?
Yes, all the time.
I'm thinking about it, but like I'm too scared.
Especially for OnlyFans. Mm. Not necessarily site work, although I did have one or two people, women, but talk about deeper stuff because they really liked, and even maybe in non-sex roles too for deeper. But, I get a lot of people, everyone wants to know, like, what is it like? But OnlyFans, when that really blew up, especially in the pandemic, and everyone was doing it, that's when I get questions from, like, random people, like some mainstream, like a couple that I knew, like, they want to, and they want to know whether they could do it without, you know, their faces or something. And they definitely wanted advice, let's just say.
Yeah, I know. I get that a lot. Like, oh, I want to do this, but I don't want to show my face.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of like, I mean, some people do that, but ultimately, if you're going to cash on the adult industry, the stigma comes with it.
Yeah.
And you got to like bear that burden.
Yeah.
You know. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to come back. And of course, we're going to talk about Maitland's new book, Rated X. So hang tight. We'll be right back. We all know Adam and Eve is the one-stop shop for everything sexy. And now, with my code Holly, you can get any one item for 50% off, plus 10 free gifts. And you'll even get free shipping. So spice up your sex life at adamandeve.com, but only if you use code Holly. All right, guys, we are back. So, Maitland, you, of course, have just come out with your memoir, Rated X. So what inspired you to write this book in the first place?
You know what? I'm not trying to say this to really like brag or anything, but nobody really does have my story.
Yeah.
And I really thought that it would be not only empowering for the adult industry, which it is, I believe, but also for anybody who's been told they can't do something in life or they've been shamed for something. And, you know, I just thought it could be a really empowering piece. I didn't think I'd write it as quickly as I did. I thought I would maybe start writing it around now or something, because it was always in the future. But I had actually done another podcast. This was back in like the end of 2020, like when I first did this podcast. And an agent heard me talk about how I love writing and I've been really into erotic writing in my past. And I took 2 years of screenwriting at UCLA. And so I really was interested in that. And I was interested in writing my story. And so then she contacted me. And we started like forming a proposal to put together. And by like March of the 2021, that's when I got it. So it's been a long process. It's like coming out now, but it's like, wow, I've been at it since March of 2021, you know?
So did you start writing it before you got the deal?
No. Well, yes and no. I had a couple chapters one was about anal sex, which was a really, which is in there, but that was a real crowd pleaser amongst women. They were like, they loved it. They were like, loved hearing about that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think anal sex is one of those things that people are so scared to try.
Yeah. But it was just funny. And I talk all about cleaning out and like all this stuff. And they were just like, this is fascinating.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of preparation that goes into it. People, I think, you know, people don't realize it. It's like that movie magic, right?
Yeah.
You know, like, it's there's behind the scenes going on here. People just, you know, step into the anal. I mean, some people do.
Step into the anal.
Some people are ready for anal all the time.
I found out I have less preparation time. I have an expandable asshole. Naturally. Really? And I really discovered that. Yes. It was funny. I did my first on-screen anal with Manuel. Mm-hmm. He was so sweet. He was like, we're going to take it slow. We're going to do it this comfortable this way. And it went in right away. And just, we didn't even stop the scene.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. It was.
Were you like proud of yourself?
I was so proud of myself afterward. I was like, oh my God. I was really worried ahead of time about cleaning out and all that, you know? Mm. And then I found out, I don't even need to clean up that much. I'm pretty good. I can get it going.
I feel like some people just have an innate talent for anal.
I think it is. No, I think it's how you're shaped in there. I really do.
It is because I did learn that there are doctors who specialize in like ass surgery. And you can literally get your butthole. Mm-hmm. So there's something about the anal cavity. If you guys
I heard this before. Yeah.
Yeah. It can either go like depending on your body, it might go straight back. It might like go down. It might like whatever it does. And then so people who obviously have a more kind of straight back thing, it's going to be more comfortable because the penis isn't going to like hit a wall.
Right. Hit the wall.
Everyone needs the visuals here.
No, it's true. No, but I think that's why some girls are just really good at anal. Do it.
Yeah. And I've heard from some women who prefer anal to vaginal that their asshole definitely expands in a way and is more malleable than their vagina. Like their vagina can't really like accommodate girth and length the way that their asshole can.
That's interesting. Yeah, it's true. I mean, I've found I like it very much on camera.
So do you do more anal? Like, did you discover that you enjoyed anal before you did porn?
Oh, yeah, but I mean, the porn dicks are like really big.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a little different. And you're on set. You were worried if you're dirty or anything like that. So you're like, so it's, so that's what I was more worried about. But now they're always asking me to do anal on there.
I know. That's the problem.
Once you do a good, they're like, do it.
It's a slippery slope, man.
Literally.
So when you got the deal, did you like, what was going through your head? Were you just like, oh shit, I really have to write this now?
Oh yeah. Yes and no. It came fast. Of course. I wrote it over about 5 months maybe. And then there was editing and stuff. But it's been pretty much in the can since the end of last year or whatever, since the months ago, let's just say, because the editing process took some time. But yeah, I kind of completed it around August of last year and then we edited it. But yeah, and it's a weird experience, a wonderful experience too, but very cathartic and very, it's interesting to write about yourself that long ago too. Like some of the porn stuff I had more like it was right now. So it wasn't as hard to go back, but like going back to my teen years and my childhood and remembering all of that and the Boy Meets World years and just seeing who I was as a person and, just things that I would have told myself back then. And like, but then I was thinking I wouldn't have a story if I had told myself back then all the answers.
Yeah.
So that is important for everyone to remember, I think.
So were there, like, did you learn anything kind of new about yourself or were these like transcendent kind of moments? Did they come up writing it?
Yeah. And I also saw like certain relationships and certain people in my life, why I fell for them, why I did certain things to please people. It was, and things, relationships that I thought, it was this way. And then it was like, wait, no, it was really this way. It was kind of icky that way. You know? Even on Boy Meets World, I never like for a good while, I never realized how sexual my character was used on the show. Mm-hmm. In a Disney way, of course, that it wasn't going to push the envelope too hard. But I was always like the butt of a sexual joke. I mean, one of my first episodes was a huge food fight with my feet on boys' faces and throwing marinara sauce all over the floor. And now I'm looking back and I'm like, whoever was in the office with this idea has a big fetish for food and feet. I did not see it at the time, but.
What was your writing process like?
I went chapter by chapter and I definitely started out, did it in order, except for the couple chapters that I had written beforehand, like about porn that I, turned in with my proposals and stuff. I spent like 4 or 5 hours at a time, like just really entrenched in this writing world. But at the same time, we were filming Muse 2 last year. So at the end when I was getting it all finished to go, I was filming and then I was writing and then I was filming. So it was like just crazy time, like just getting everything out there. But it really was, exciting, and it really motivated me. Deadlines motivate me, so I was, yeah.
Yeah, deadlines are definitely very motivating. They'll either make you, like, crawl under a rock and, like, never answer your phone, or it'll make you get off your ass and actually do something.
Yeah, I think it works for me. I like a deadline.
Yeah. So you wrote a really interesting part about your yoni.
Oh, yeah,
with your husband, which, by the way, I loved.
Yes, it was so
So tell us a little bit about that, like what a yoni is for people that don't know.
Well, the massages that we have, vaginal and penis, but it's not like it's not a sexual thing. It is, but it's not. They're not like, it's more like it's a yoga kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it's very tantric. Mm-hmm. So it's a very freeing process.
Yeah.
I have to say, you open yourself up to so many emotions and so much. It's stimulation, but it's not the same as like having sex with somebody. Mm-hmm. It just is. It's just a very interesting experience. And I'm glad I had it. I was very interested in tantric sex and stuff when I did yoga teacher training.
Okay.
Yeah. I've never taught, but I really did it for myself. And so I got really involved in like learning about tantric stuff. And I was really interested in that. So it was fun. It was a good experience.
It is really interesting, you know, how it does come across as a kind of like personal spiritual release rather than a
absolutely.
Sexual release.
Though
those two things can be intertwined as well.
Yes, yes. That's why it's like more profound, I guess. Mm-hmm. And it's much more, I believe, personal to you. It's more like a masturbation experience that's soulful, except somebody's doing it.
Right, right. And do you think that like maybe because you grew up in a conservative household and then like your years being a child actor, you know, with like Disney and like being kind of having your sexuality suppressed for so many years. Do you think that maybe you had like a strong reaction to this because of that?
I did. I had a much stronger reaction than my husband. He had a good one, but not but I had the spiritual, like, you know, one. But yeah, that was actually true. And I was finally really just able to enjoy this sexual experience of my own or with the person, but that, you know, it just was so freeing and stuff. So
yeah. And I love the kind of like back and forth between you and your husband, you know, just like kind of cracking jokes. And also that he's like up, that he didn't know what he was getting into.
No. I get him involved in some things. He's like, what is this?
Like, he's like, but I'll try it.
Yeah.
I have to say, my favorite line here was when he asked, do you mean this girl is going to give me a happy ending?
Yeah.
And you said, no, I said, this is yoga. There are no happy endings, just the journey.
It's true.
But it's so true. And I actually like that really made me think because, you know, every time I think I've reached some happy ending, you know, we're always like striving for something. I don't know about you, but sometimes I live in the future a little bit too much.
Yeah.
And I'm like, once I get this, I'll be happy. Once I achieve this, I'll be happy. Then you're there and I'm like, I'm not like feeling the way I was. And then it was the next thing.
Yeah.
But also too, like, when you take moments and reflect back, which obviously you did writing your book, you see the journey and the, you know, when you look back, wide angle, zoom out, and you see the journey from the perspective, you're like, it was that whole process.
It was the whole thing. It's
that
a story.
That was so special.
Yeah. Cause I wouldn't be who I was today if all of those things didn't happen, you know? So it was very special. Yeah. And it's like when you're young, you think, I need to do this. I need to, like you were saying, I need to have these certain goals and get this job and this man or woman or whatever. But then along the way, all the missteps and mishaps and things that went wrong and things you did wrong and mistakes that you made, they all make your story. And it makes it so much more fulfilling when you find success and you find yourself. It really is.
Yeah. After those, I've always found that like those low moments in my life set me up for some like really great achievement.
Yeah.
Or some.
It is. It's the lower moments.
And I try to remember that when those low moments come.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, this is
it's
like
hard to remember in the
it's
moment.
It's hard though. Yeah. It's so hard. But you know, if you can, I try to like see everything now as a challenge rather than a problem. Like, okay, this is a challenge or like a learning experience. This is a wonderful.
I get to solve this problem.
Yeah, I get to solve this problem. This is a wonderful lesson in patience. Stuff like that.
I think it's easier though when you're older, you know, when you're young, it's like you don't even know who you are in the world. So everything that's disappointing seems so heartbreaking. And that's what I'm saying. Tell the younger people, it's going to be your story if you hang in there and you just keep going on your journey.
Yeah. Do you feel more comfortable with yourself now that as an older woman?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I do.
I do too.
And when I was younger, I thought it would be the worst thing in the world because Hollywood told me that too. I thought at 25, I was old. Like or at 23, I was like aging. No, well, I guess after White Chicks, I really felt So like in my later 20s, I was like, I'm done, you know, I'm over. And but then now I feel like I'm so much more empowered and stuff. So.
Yeah, I definitely feel that way. I work with a lot of young women.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
And, they feel old at 20. I remember.
I know whenever they say
that. I know. I'm just like. But then I also think too, when I'm like, you're not old, I'm old. And I'm thinking about some 60-year-old woman who's like, bitch, you're not old. I'm old.
Right.
It's all perspective. But I remember turning 25 and being like, I'm a quarter century.
I know.
Old.
It was.
And you know, it's so funny because my 30th birthday was so hard for me because I remember being a kid. So, you know, my mom was a photographer and shot for Playboy and Penthouse and Hustler and stuff. And sometimes when we would go shoot abroad, she would bring her family. And of course, she'd go shoot somewhere else. She wouldn't shoot where we were staying, but I'd stay with my dad. And I remember being with like a couple of models. And I was maybe 7 or 8 at the time or something like that, very young. And the guy said to me, one of the male models was like, oh my God, I'm so old. And I'm like, how old are you? And he's like, oh, I'm 29. And me thinking that I was being so like giving by saying this, I said, it's okay. 29's not old. You're not old. 30, that's when you're old.
He's like, great, I have a year.
But in my mind, I was like being so gracious by saying
that. That's right.
And
well,
so
you were
the
little,
closer I got to 30, I just remember how old I am in the eyes of my younger self.
I know. That's funny. I had a story like that when I was on Bold and Beautiful, a guy who's my great friend to this day. He was like, I was only 16, 17. And he was, I'll tell you that he like said, how old do I look? And I was like, the first time I met him, we're on a scene together. And I was like, I don't know. Like whatever I said a younger age. I write it in the book, but he's like, oh, that's great. I'm 28. I'm turning 29. I don't want to look that old. Cause it was so funny. Now we look back on that and it's like, oh my God.
I know, right?
You were turning 29.
I know. It's just great. Yeah. I mean, perspective is everything. Yeah. So, you write about your husband in the book, of course. So tell us a little bit about your relationship because you guys have an open relationship.
No, we don't have an open relationship.
Okay.
Yeah, everybody thinks that that's what we were doing. I fulfill all my sexual experiences on camera for most part. I've had girls and stuff, and he's very open with that. But he's monogamous, and this was so much about my wanting to not only go on a sexual journey, but performing and stuff. I just love it. And I love doing it. And it's really a safe outlet for me to, you know, experience all these things that I might not in a marital bedroom that, you know, cause it's more normal and it's more intimate and stuff. I'm, you know, swinging on the chandeliers and stuff in the dungeons and all this, you know? So that was a really important thing that we kind of started out doing this together. Like he was helping film he's a good photographer too. So he did a lot of my early, you know, Instagram and Snapchats and stuff and my sexy photos and, you know, things. But he was there along the way when I started doing content shoots and we really grew in this journey, you know, we took together. I mean, he doesn't go on the professional sets now, but it was important that he saw me in that environment and, you know, sexually performing and everything and how much that I loved it. But no, we don't. No, we're pretty normal in our regular lives.
Can I read an excerpt from your book where you talk about how he's not a cuck? Because I'm sure that's probably something that, you know, men are so, like the idea of sharing their woman with other people is like so foreign to so many people. Yeah. So you wrote, my husband is not a cuck, contrary to what the internet or you may believe. Not that there's anything wrong with this particular kink and lifestyle, but it isn't ours. The thing is especially insulting about the cuck assumption is that my sexual constitution is authored by my husband's desires, that it would be impossible for a woman to do these things on her own, and even more impossible that a husband who wasn't jerking off to it would let her. Even in the most open-minded circles, the immediate assumption is that I wouldn't be doing any of it if my husband's cock didn't benefit in some way. Mm-hmm. That really takes power away from a woman's story.
Yeah. And that really, when anybody makes that assumption, I mean, of course, I see why they do it because they don't know. But when they make that assumption, that's insulting to me because this is my thing and this is what I love to do. And I work really hard as a performer. And And I've, you know, had this success all this time. And, you know, it just because he wants to jerk off to it. That's why I'm doing this. That's why I'm taking this journey. That's why I'm, you know, performing for Deeper. That's why I'm doing all this stuff. That's what's insulting about it. Cause I don't care if you're a cuck or whatever you want to do, but it's that he would have to benefit in order for me to have success in the adult industry and stuff.
Yeah. That speaks so much to my frustration about the question that I so often get is, isn't porn demeaning to women? Yeah. And I'm always like, well, how come you never ask about it being demeaning to men? It's always the women. And that assumption for me, I feel like paints the women automatically as victims.
Yeah.
They don't have their own agency. They couldn't possibly be sexual beings on of their own volition.
Yes,
they couldn't possibly
exactly.
be exhibitionists. They must have been forced into this position by a boyfriend or an agent or whatever. And
And
I agree, it really takes power away from women when you automatically like put us in that box of like you must be a victim, you must be damaged, like you must be all of these things because like women don't enjoy sex out in the open like that.
Yeah. I think it's changing more and more, though. I really see it with the younger people coming up there, younger women who just, like I said, they come up to me and it's really empowering. Like I had such a nice girl, lady. She must have been about 30 and she had a kid and a husband and she came up to me and she was, she said, I'm such a fan of your work. And I was like, oh, she must like Boy Meets World, you know? Mm-hmm. And she's like, you and Caden are my favorites. And her husband's like, yep, she loves you guys. So I was like, that is so cool. I completely thought it was a Boy Meets World thing.
Yeah.
But she might have watched me there too. I don't know.
And it's kind of great though, right? To like you have like a different evolving fan base now that didn't necessarily follow you. That doesn't necessarily – there must be something rewarding about people who enjoy Maitland Ward as who you are now and the work you're making now, not as opposed to somebody who was in Boy Meets World
and
now
that.
Is doing this.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I feel like – I don't know.
I think it's cool when guys are mostly guys, but there's some girls that they say, you know, they're happy they got my fleshlights and everything because they've been masturbating to me for all these decades. I'm like, that is a feat. That is a success. And they never thought they'd see me naked. They love it.
What I also too love about this paragraph from your story about your relationship with your husband is that it also speaks to like, so my parents were swingers, but my mom is definitely like the more dominant, experimenter in the family. And she was definitely the one going out there more often and having sex with people. And my dad was not.
Yeah.
And, so yeah, and I think some people would see that as like, oh, you know, my father is like submissive to her, but like that's not the case at all. Like one of the only people that my mom listens to is my dad. And there's so much power that he holds like behind the scenes and she really like values his opinion and he's the one who built her business. So I don't know. I just saw like a parallel with my parents' relationship in there.
Yes.
So I really liked that.
Oh yeah. He was so instrumental in building, you know, helped build my brand and stuff. And we didn't know what we were doing really in the beginning. Yeah. We were just like, let's take fun photos and let's do it. You know, things that I just wanted to do. And I showed just aspects of my personality in this and I love being sexy and all that stuff. And then it just sort of snowballed and evolved, but we really grew together with it.
Yeah. And I think it also says something, I personally think it says a lot about a man, contrary to like public opinion, that who can feel comfortable with you having sex with other people and not be afraid that like he's gonna lose you to like because you had sex with some guy with a huge dick, like, oh, I'm so you know, insecure in my relationship that like my wife's going to leave me because she had sex with this one guy, because then it speaks to the idea that like a relationship is only about
sex. Yeah, it's only about
sex.
Right. There's so much more to
ownership.
Oh my gosh.
And all this stuff. And it's not. So I kind of see like, I don't know. I see those relationships in the opposite way.
Oh yeah, I do too. And I hope more people see it like that. So.
Yeah. Well, I think coming out and like speaking openly about that is like so incredibly helpful.
Yeah. I really wanted to say that. Yeah. I really wanted to get that across because women can feel very sexually empowered in their own sexuality and not because of a man.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love that. I want to talk a little bit more about, your relationship with Caden and, the work that you guys have been doing together. So, were you kind of, there's always this joke that porn and it's, you know, to be fair, it's a legitimate joke most of the time is that porn is just like really bad acting and like the pizza guy with like extra sauce. You know what I mean? And it's like you can never make a good porn movie. The acting's always terrible. Everything's always bad.
I know. That's what they – oh, yeah. That's
and I think that your work with Caden has shown that to not be true. So were you really excited to be able to take this other talent that you've, you know, had?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
And apply it in your new career. And did you think that that experience was ever going to come up?
No, it came about very fast. But I remember I was on the black set and I had a script on there and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was fun. I hadn't really acted in a long time. And I remember somebody on the set was like, "You're a really good actress." And I was like, "Oh, thanks."
You're like, "I've only been doing this for my life."
No, but it was heartening to me. It was like, you know, oh, because I hadn't been told that in a long, long time.
Right.
And then to be swept up and Drive and Deeper was so exciting. I did not know that the features like that existed, really.
Well, I'm saying they didn't really exist.
Oh, yeah.
until recently, I think Caden's really
She's
made some big headway in the
industry. Oh, definitely. Definitely. But I didn't know that was possible. And just when I got her script on my desk that Monday mm-hmm. morning after Blacked, I was just like, wow, this is mm-hmm. this full on script. This is exactly like an independent film that I would read, or a film script that, mm-hmm. you know, for mainstream, I mean. So it was really exciting. And I was like, so we've been able to make such like great lengthy projects. I mean, I have more lines in these projects than I like ever had on shows or movies or anything. I mean, I have 3-page monologues at times.
Didn't
you know,
she I remember her once saying that she sent you like a 3-page monologue like the night before.
Yeah, yeah, that was so. That was for Secretary for a scene in Mistress Maitland, the first one, and it was on. Yes, it was like I think it was Valentine's night too, and I was doing some cute little like web show or whatever for Camp Soda or something like that mm-hmm. or for OnlyFans, but. She gave it to me and she's like, here, it was like midnight. She gave it to me. It was it was funny. I did it and it was really good. That was a really great scene.
Were you surprised by what the movie looked like after it came out?
Oh yes. That's why it was so Drive. You mean, or mm-hmm.
Drive.
I was so impressed and I saw the trailer for it and I was like, I have to announce this. I have to mm-hmm. tell the press this. This is something that is monumental and has not been done before. Mm-hmm. I've never seen anything like this.
Yeah.
In this full-length feature that is just, it's like a cinematic experience.
No, I remember seeing the trailer and I was like, okay, I'm done. Forget it. I'm done. I quit. I'm out of here. Yeah, no, she's done some incredible work. It's really impressive. So you have a new feature that's coming out.
Yes, it is.
It's going to be announced tomorrow. Sadly, we can't have it right now. But do you have other projects in the works? Are you ever looking to do anything behind the camera? Are you interested?
I am. Yeah. You know, I actually wrote several scenes and co-directed too.
Okay.
Not on Deeper, but it's on the other brands too. Mm-hmm. That's one.
Okay.
So yeah, she's been very encouraging of me to do more directing. So maybe this next year I'll be more writing and directing. So yeah, it's fun. I lean more like I'm a writer. So I feel mm-hmm. that is like more of my passion, but I'm finding I really like to like how it's set up, and she shows me how to do shots and how to, you mm-hmm. know, all the technical aspects and stuff. So mm-hmm. I would definitely like to work under her in that at first, just to do more. But I did co-direct some scenes, but on the other brands and stuff, or Vixen.
Would you find the most challenging thing about directing?
Well, I had help definitely from our cinematographer mm-hmm. and also, you know,
it's all about your crew, man. I mean, like,
yeah. Oh, I know. And I realized that I was always scared. Like, you have to do everything, but
if you have
a great crew, we have an amazing crew.
Yeah.
So that was really cool to like talk about like what shots I wanted and how I wanted it to be. And it was so weird because the first one that I did when I wrote out the script, I was like, it was so amazing to see it up on its feet mm-hmm. and everything. So it was really cool. It was really cool. So yeah, I'd like to do more of that.
In 2020, you were invited to be a guest on Tamron Hall. And from your telling in the book, the interview was supposed to be a sex positive interview about your journey from Hollywood to porn. But then last minute, they took it in a very different direction, with Tamron even mentioning sex trafficking.
Yes. So, I was shocked there. And you know what? I don't know if she was purposely trying to do anything to me. She mm-hmm. just, I don't think she didn't understand.
Yeah.
It wasn't like she hated me or she was mean to me or whatever. But the producers misled me on that, and they made mm-hmm. it like, oh, we love your story, because it was after, you know, it was right after Drive and everything mm-hmm. and all the press that I had gotten. So they wanted to have me on the show, And then I just couldn't believe that, like, she was talking, asking me if I'm worried to be sex trafficked on Instagram or something. And I was like, what? Like, and but I handled it. I handled it. I knew in that moment I needed to be a champion for the sex industry. Mm-hmm. And I even like nudged in there. I'm like, oh, but the female directors are like some of the most award winning and mm-hmm. we have full length scripts and we do. But then it was kept trying to be edged away from that to like, but are you worried that if you take a picture online, it's going to be, you know, mm-hmm. used for bad purposes. And then I was thinking, why is she asking me this? Because that would be kind of weird. Like they're going to take my picture and and she was also asking, like, am I worried about, like, kids being, you know, taken? I'm like, what does this have to do with my story?
Yeah. I think, there's a lot of misunderstanding around sex,
like, that's not legitimate porn. That's
– no.
It's a whole other bad deal.
Yeah, and there's a lot of hysteria around it. And, I mean, they're – and anybody who knows, who works in this – in the adult industry and who especially works in the mainstream channels mm-hmm. that you do, like, we are not – about sex trafficking.
Oh,
like,
it's strict.
We dislike IDs, it as much paperwork. As you do.
Yeah, we don't want it. No at all. That's why it's so offensive.
Yeah.
But I don't think she was trying to be totally offensive. I think she was just, she just didn't understand.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I hope to talk to her again about what we talked about. Have a bigger conversation about it.
Yeah. I think the problem is that people, like, they see the porn industry and they lump everything into one.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's nefarious sides of every industry. I mean, you come from Hollywood. I'm
right.
sure you've heard horrible stories. I've, you know, talked to girls who were fashion models and they said they were exploited and sexually harassed.
Mm-hmm. A lot of models by photographers and stuff.
Yeah. In the fashion industry than they ever were an adult.
Right.
But it's just like this whole misconception that, like, and again, I think it comes down to the whole, like,
yeah,
you must have been sex trafficked into this job because you couldn't possibly want to do it on your own.
Right.
And yeah, I think that's really helpful for people like you to come into this industry, to do the work that you do, to show that, like, somebody, you know, because people would probably said to you, like, you had options, you had other things you could have done and you chose this. And you did, you chose it. And I think that that really gives power to the choice mm-hmm. of, like, a woman wanting to be in the adult industry as a sexual creature. So I guess I'm just trying to say I applaud you for that. So thanks.
Oh, thank you. I really try not to, I mean, I'm not ashamed, but I never play into a shame card. Like, mm-hmm. and I think that stops them talking. Cause mm-hmm. if they say it and they're just, what are we going to do? If she's not ashamed, she's happy, she's proud, she's, you know, all this stuff. What, oh, like, you
I
should
don't
be ashamed.
Have anything else in my notes about like a sexually empowered, confident woman.
Yeah. It's like,
anything else in the book that you're really excited about?
I'm excited. I'm just excited for people to read it and everything. And I'm excited for them to see my journey in porn, you know, mm-hmm. just how I got there. And I think people had a lot of questions all along. And I think all of them will be answered. All of the questions will be answered in this book. So, and it's fun too. It's not, it's sexy and it's serious in parts, but then it's fun. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of funny parts and things and all my, you know, how I got into the business and all these, you know, little mishaps and things.
Yeah.
It's cute.
I mean, cause ultimately, you know, I mean, we work a professional job and we're serious about our work, but like the porn industry is like kind of a funny place too.
It is.
Like,
I know.
Like I have so much fun and like ridiculous shit happens and it's hilarious.
It's, and I think people need to see that more.
Yeah. Tell us about you have an upcoming signing in New York.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes. And, it's going to be on September 15th at, Powerhouse in Brooklyn. So Powerhouse Arena. So, with Caden will be there. And she's been at my Barnes & Noble signing.
Fantastic. And where can people – will you be doing like a reading there? Will you be doing –
yeah, autographs? I'm not exactly sure. Question and answer, and people can definitely take pictures and, you know, I'll sign the books and meet people and everything. So, mm-hmm. yeah, it'll be – and I think we're going to read some excerpts and, you know, she'll do the moderating question and answer thing. So
cool.
It'll be fun.
Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Oh,
it's
thank you so much. It's wonderful. Yes.
Can you tell everyone where they can find you online? Oh, maybe where they can buy your book?
Well, they can buy it anywhere, like Barnes & Noble, Amazon, any bookseller. And when it's out, go to any bookstore and go get it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like Maitland Ward, my name is pretty much for everything, right, all my social media and stuff. So,
it's just at Maitland Ward.
Yes.
Because you came in early. You got that name.
Yeah. I had to get it back from somebody originally. They had it. So, but yeah, on Twitter, I mean, so I had to yank it back through legal action.
Yeah.
Thing
yeah.
A while back, but yeah.
So that's easy. So everybody can find you at Maitland Ward, Twitter, Instagram. Yeah. Are you on TikTok?
I am on TikTok. I'm trying TikTok. I haven't announced it like fully, but it's Maitland Talk. Maitland Ward was taken there and I'm working on that.
Oh.
But yeah, so I'm just kind of trying it out. It's such a different thing.
Like it is,
making
right?
the videos and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. When I first got on TikTok and I was like, I can't do this. I'm not going to do any stupid dances.
I know. I don't do that. I know. It's so hard.
Yeah. It is a huge platform now.
It is though. I know. That's why I'm kind of like trying to see.
I tried to shake it off for a long time too. I was like, I'm too old for this shit. And I'm like, fuck my TikTok.
There's so many people on there. I know.
I know. My TikTok's Holly Randall Unfiltered. You can find me there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, again, Maitland, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much. It was so much fun.
Yeah, no, you're amazing. And of course, you guys can find me at Holly Randall on Instagram and on Twitter. And like I said, my TikTok is Holly Randall Unfiltered for now until they delete me.
Have you been deleted a couple times?
No, but I get warnings all the time.
I was going to say.
And they're like, your content violates community guidelines. And I'm just like, literally, the girl was talking about being proud of her curves. We didn't even talk about porn, but
oh my gosh,
TikTok
hates
me. And of course, if you want to support this podcast and watch these interviews live, go to patreon.com/HollyRandallUnfiltered. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. If you love my show and want to support it, I ask that you take the time to rate and review my podcast. Now, if you're not sure how to do that, you can go to ratethispodcast.com/HRU. And you'll automatically be directed to the various podcast apps your device supports and then be led to the place where you can rate my show. 5 stars, of course, and leave your glowing review. Okay, it doesn't have to be glowing, but, you know, say something nice. You can also financially support this show through my Patreon by visiting patreon.com/HollyRandallUnfiltered, where you get so many perks for your support. Things such as early releases and live recordings of my interviews, merchandise such as stickers, mugs, and hoodies, autographed copies of my photography books, free access to my private Snapchat and not safe for work website, hollyrandall.com, and my bonus podcast, My LA Porn Life. Also, join my Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/HollyRandallUnfiltered, and you can watch the video versions of these interviews at youtube.com/HollyRandallUnfiltered. Oh, and of course, sign up for my newsletter at hollyrandallunfiltered.com and get all the info on upcoming guests and special projects. Again, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for supporting my podcast in whatever way that you can.